Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and all of you who are joining us online. Johnny, would you be able to turn these overhead lights on here? It's awful bright outside, but this way we can all see just a little bit better in our bulletins, because I know as I get a little bit older, more light helps me to see better. Just a few announcements this morning. Immediately after the worship service today is a special congregational meeting to discuss the opportunity to purchase the Spainauer property next door to the church. And so if you will stick around for that, the council will be leading that. I am leaving this afternoon to go to the youth gathering in New Orleans to work this week. And so I'm actually not gonna stay to greet folks today. I'm gonna slip out after the service so that I can get to the airport on time, but I wanted to let you know that ahead of time as well. So I will be flying back next Sunday, and then I'm gonna take a couple days off the week after to recover. So I'll see you in about a week and a half. Agape is meeting tomorrow night, not for a formal meeting, but for dinner at Speedy's Barbecue. So if you'd like to join them, go ahead and do that. Next Sunday, Joe Davis will be preaching for us. And then the following weekend is gonna be our Christmas in July. So if you'd like to help decorate the sanctuary that Saturday, we'd love to have you join us. And then worship on Sunday. We have a few birthdays this week, but we have Neil and Terry celebrating their wedding anniversary and Eddie Heitman remembering his baptism. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And I want to say a brief word about the incident that happened yesterday. Certainly we need to pray for the epidemic of violence in our country. Violence in any shape or form is absolutely contradictory to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ calls us to be meek. He calls us to be peacemakers. Never once does he lift up violence. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers come to take Christ away, Peter takes up a sword and Jesus rebukes him, right? Violence is never, ever the option, and it is absolutely contradictory to the gospel of Christ. And so we do need to be angry and upset about the gun violence that happens in our country, and I want to just read a few statistics here. As of the end of June, there were already 34 school shootings in 2024. In June alone, there were 72 mass shootings in our country. And as of July 4th, the total of mass shootings in our country was 261. Gun violence is certainly a problem. And if we are upset about yesterday's incident, we need to be just as upset about all of the gun violence in our country, because every life is precious to God, and every single human is created in the image of God. When we were at Camp Formation, gun violence is a very real and scary thing for children. Children go to school every day afraid that someone might come into their school and shoot them. So much so that young children have to practice active shooting drills. I'm getting ready to go to the youth gathering where we are having significant precautions to protect our youth, but I still feel quite afraid, even though I know I shouldn't live in fear, but I am. This is a huge problem. All that to say, violence is never, ever the option, and it is certainly never the option that Christ would call us to. We need to look at Jesus as our model for that, and be the peacemakers that he has called us to be. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's abundance, let us confess our sin. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Where else can we turn? Share with us the words of eternal life, and feed us for life in the world. Amen. Beloved people of God, in Jesus, the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. Through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy, you are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, from you come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Maddie. Good morning, Sawyer. What's your name? Hi, Boston. I'm Pastor Anna. Good morning, Sawyer. Yeah, Boston's right there. That's right. Well, I don't know if you remember, but during our children's sermons this summer, we're talking about different things about baptism. And in just a few weeks, Sawyer is going to get baptized, and so is his little brother, Trevor. That's right, Trevor's going to get baptized. And so our VBS day is also about baptism this summer, so all things baptism. And that's kind of cool, right? Because in the summer, what do we do a lot? We play with water. We go swimming. Do you ever run in the sprinkler or play in the sprinkler? You've been trying? Do you have one of those squirters on your hose and you help water the flowers outside? No, I have one of those, and George and I are learning how to do water sports, and so I'm trying to teach him to do different tricks with the water, but mostly he just wants to drink it. But one of the things that you hear us say in church is, remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. What does it mean to remember something? So you don't forget. Yes, we remember something so that we don't forget. And so when we are living our lives, when we're going to school, when we're going to camp, when we're going to the grocery store, when we're going to the park, we can be thinking about a lot of things, and sometimes we can forget that God loves us. And sometimes we can forget that we are God's children. And sometimes we can forget that God is always with us. So it's important to remember our baptism so that we don't forget those things. But how do we remember our baptism? How do you remember things? In your mind, that's right. If you're like me, I have a bunch of lists so I don't forget things. Well, one of the things that can help us remember our baptism is water. Every time we think about water, every time we touch water. So what might be some times in our day when we see or touch or taste water? Can you give me some examples? Maddie, when do you play with water? That's a good answer, yeah. Maddie, do you like to play in the bathtub? You like to play in the bathtub? Boston, what do you like to do with water? You like to play in the bath too? Do you ever wash your hands with water? I hope so. How about your face? Do you wash your face with water? Do you drink water? Especially in the summer, we need to stay hydrated. So there are different times in the day when we are touching or thinking or tasting water. And those are all times that water can be a trigger for our memory to remember that we are God's children and that God loves us. So the next time you're washing your hands, say, I am God's child. God loves me. When you're in the shower or the bathtub, you can take some water. I splash it on my face 3 times because we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I say, I am baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when I'm washing my dishes, I sing Jesus Loves Me to remind me that Jesus loves me. So when we remember our baptism, water can help us. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for our church.
Thank you for our church.
And thank you for each other.
Thank you for
water.
And all the gifts that it gives us.
Help us to not forget that we are your children and you love us. We love you, God. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up. You all may go to Children's Church today with Kelly.
Testament lesson for today comes from the second chapter of Acts. So those who welcomed Peter's message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came among everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take and divide this among yourselves. For I tell you, the fruit that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series on Holy Communion. This is our fourth Sunday in the journey. And the last three Sundays, we've talked about some hard topics that have made us think a little bit. And I mentioned when we first started this that I hoped that you would come to me if you had questions. And so I thought today we would answer a couple of those questions and get into the nitty-gritty of communion a little bit. So it is no secret that I love children, and I think that they are absolutely amazing. I love children of all ages, but there's something about the two-year age that is so endearing for me. I could tell you all of the things I love about that age. But one of the things that's absolutely incredible is how their vocabulary and imaginations are growing exponentially during that year. Their personalities are sweet and funny. Their minds are like a sponge. They're learning and putting so many things together. And I love how curious two-year-olds are about the world. And they satisfy that curiosity by asking the famous question, why? And asking it multiple times. They're really trying to make sense of the world around them. And asking why helps them to understand what things mean and why things are the way that they are and how things happen. But sadly, somewhere along the way, we stop asking questions. Maybe it's because we feel embarrassed if we don't know something that we think we should, and so we don't let on to others that we don't know. Maybe it's because somewhere along the way we were taught that it wasn't safe to ask questions. Maybe the people that we ask questions of would get irritated and they'd find us and our questions an annoyance. And I know that sometimes in the church, we don't ask questions because we're afraid of what people might think of us, or they think we might be stupid, or we feel like we should already know something. But dear ones, questions and curiosity are a beautiful thing. And just like for two-year-olds, questions and curiosity helps us make sense of the world around us. And asking questions helps us understand what things mean, and why they are the way they are, and how things happen. So let's get into a few questions that I have been asked recently. What are the plate and cup for communion called? They are called the paten, the plate, and the chalice, the cup. Paten is a medieval Latin word that means plate for the bread of the Eucharist. Chalice is also a medieval Latin word, and it means drinking cup. We've talked about before how in the church we have our own vocabulary, and oftentimes things in the church have a distinct name because they are set apart, right? And this isn't just for a plate, right? This isn't just any plate that we have on the table. It's a plate to hold the Eucharist bread, the body of Christ. And by the way, I'm sharing all of this with you, not so that you memorize it because there's not going to be a test, but so that if you hear people talking about it, if you hear me talking about it, you're like, oh yeah, I remember the paten. Yeah, that's the plate for the communion bread. And I really want you to understand that every single thing we do in worship has meaning to what it is and to why we do it. Nothing is arbitrary and nothing is by accident in worship. The next question, why do the communion elements have to be consumed after worship? So you've heard me tell the children before that if they want after worship, they can come up and eat the leftover bread. And one time there was a kid who was drinking the wine too. He was going with the little individual cups, the body of Christ for me, the blood of Christ for me, the blood of Christ for me. I really just invite them to eat the leftover bread, but this is a really good question. Why do the communion elements have to be consumed after worship? Well, for us Lutherans, communion is a sacrament. It's not a symbol. Sacraments are a means of grace, a way that God gives grace to us. When God's word is spoken over the elements, and is proclaimed over the bread and the wine, the presence of Christ becomes a part of them. In the Large Catechism, Martin Luther wrote this: "The true body and blood of the Lord Christ are in and under the bread and wine." It is true indeed that if you take the word away from the elements or view them apart from the word, you have nothing but ordinary bread and wine. The true body and blood of the Lord Christ are in and under the bread and wine. This happens in the words of institution. There are two words of God, right? There's scripture, and then there's Jesus, the word made flesh. When Jesus' words are spoken over the elements, Jesus becomes a part of them. This is why communion is so special, and this is why it's not just symbolic. Jesus truly becomes part of the elements, right? When we hand you the elements here at the font, I don't say, here's a piece of bread for you. I say, this is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. This isn't ordinary bread. This isn't ordinary wine. The true presence of Jesus becomes part of them. Just as Mary held Jesus in her arms, we hold in our hands every single Sunday the body and blood of Christ. And when Jesus becomes a part of the elements, they are consecrated. They are set apart. They are made holy. And once the bread and wine are consecrated, the presence of Jesus doesn't leave them after communion is over. And so we treat what remains with reverence and respect, which means we don't dispose of the bread and wine like we would dispose of other food and drink. We either consume it or return it to the earth. For the bread, that means it needs to either be eaten or taken outside and scattered on the ground, not put in the garbage. We wouldn't put the presence of Jesus in the trash, would we? The same is true of the crumbs. After you all leave every Sunday and before I depart, you'll see me on my hands and knees picking up all the crumbs that scattered during us giving communion. Because even in the tiniest crumb is the presence of Jesus. And we want to treat it with respect and reverence. The wine can either be consumed or returned to the earth as well. In some cases, this literally means taking the chalice outside and pouring it on the ground. But many churches, like ours, have a special sink in the sacristy called a sacrarium. What's special about this sink is that the pipe from the sink doesn't go to the sewer, it goes directly to the ground underneath the church. So that when the wine is poured in that pipe, it is returned to the earth. This is also used to rinse the paten and chalice so that any remains on those dishes also get returned to the earth as well. Sacrarium and sacristy both come from the Latin word for holy. Right, this sink and this room aren't just a regular sink or a room. They are set apart for a sacred purpose, just like the paten, just like the chalice. A sacristy is a room where sacred objects are kept, like the paten and chalice, like altar cloths, like our table linens, like our vestments for every season of the church calendar. And it is in this room that the most sacred meal we have is prepared for us. Beloved, just like the paten and the chalice, the sacristy and the sacrarium, you too are set apart for a sacred purpose. In your baptism, you were marked with the cross of Christ forever, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you were given a new name, beloved, child of God. Because you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God is within you. And the sacred purpose you are set apart for is to live out the promises of baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. We are set apart for this, beloved, So may we live as though we are set apart because we are. And may we live into our sacred name. And may we live it out. Beloved, may we be loved. And may we be love. Amen.
In hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son,
our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
One in the communion of saints and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in a prayer. You gather your people into the body of Christ. Where your church is wounded, heal it. Where it is right, strengthen it. Where it is divided, reunite it. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
From before the foundation of the world, you are God. Revive ecosystems destroyed by human greed. Curb our desire to put wealth ahead of the health of all who call this planet home. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You establish equity and make justice. Within every nation, tribe, and land, cause laws to be written and customs to be observed that protect the most vulnerable. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
On the cross, your beloved Son endured pain and death. Bring healing to those in need, hope to any in despair, and comfort to the dying. We pray especially for Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, Mike and Joanna, Debbie, John, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our heart. In your mercy, hear our prayer. You send your Spirit into this community of faith. Strengthen our ministries that serve and build up local communities. Empower us to live out your call to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All peoples praise you, O God. We give you thanks and praise for the lives of our loved ones who are now in rest in you. In the fullness of our time together with us and all your saints in light, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, holy and merciful, into your outstretched arms we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Peace be with you. I love how he hugs. You ready to do the offering, Brantley?
Oh,
pray together. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ has set the table with more than enough for all. Come. stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The blessing of God, who provides for us, who feeds us, and journeys with us, be upon you now and forever. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Pastor Anna, would you join me in the middle of the aisle? I'd like to invite the council members to join us out here in the middle. We'd like to give you a little bit of a send-off, and I pulled some information from the youth gathering that we're going to go through here. So, claimed by God, crafted with your own authentic gifts, you are joining a brave community of disruptive disciples called to be participants in the 2024 ELCA Youth Gathering. In this, there will be times when you feel energized and times when you feel exhausted, times when you enjoy every activity planned and times you wish you were in charge, times when the Holy Spirit will show up in joy and times when the Holy Spirit will show up in challenge. And so, I ask you, will you use your braveness for the sake of the gospel as you step into your journey ahead? Will you use your authenticity, to enrich the gathering and the community of New Orleans? Will you freely participate in the gathering and with the people of New Orleans with the love and compassion of Jesus? Will you seek to disrupt injustice, working together in solidarity for the sake of your neighbors? Will you be respectful, curious, helpful, open, and kind? If so, respond, I will and I ask God to help and guide me.
I will and I ask God to help and guide me.
And now I ask the congregation, will you, led by the Holy Spirit, pray for Pastor Anna and all the youth gathering participants in your daily prayers, asking for God's guidance, love, safety, and blessing in their endeavors? And upon her return, will you receive her and her stories, experiences, with love and openness? If so, respond by saying, we will and we ask God to help us.
We will and we ask God to help us.
Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to be with Pastor Anna as she joins many others in New Orleans. We ask for a wonderful experience for Pastor Anna and all the participants this week as they worship, work, play, and rest for each new day. Thank you for giving the participants the chance to show the world how the power of God shows through the young and the young at heart in New Orleans. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Glory, glory. Body of Christ, please be to God.
So I will call this meeting to order. Excuse me, my teacher voice. The church council met Thursday after we had gotten some information that the property next door and across the street there, beside of the ball field, might become available. And it might be available, and so we have been in contact with Donna Sheely to express that we are interested if an opportunity did come about. And we did let her know that we have completed an appraisal or had an appraisal completed. We will be sharing that with her this week so that we can think about moving forward to see if we want to. So our purpose for this meeting is we have a survey that Stuart is passing out. We are asking you just quite simply at this point in time, if the property does become available and it is offered to Holly Grove Lutheran Church for purchase, if you think we would be interested, or you yourself would be interested in the church having that property. There are opportunities here. There may not be an opportunity. We believe that there is truly an opportunity at this point in time. That property has been offered for sale to the congregation before. Unfortunately, it did not happen. But at this time, if you have questions about this, now will be a time for you to ask. Yes? Well, we haven't talked about a ton of use, but we do know that one of our needs is we need to expand our handicapped parking area, and possibly we could use what's here behind the house in this area and beside to do that. The property maps, part of our driveway is not even on our property, just like most of the stuff that I mow outside of the ball field fence is not our property. But we've used it for years. But the uses, we haven't gone into much detail at this point in time because we're not necessarily counting chickens too early.
How would we pay for this?
Well, we have talked a little bit about that, but not a lot. That's why we're trying to check to see, survey if we're interested. We do have some funds sitting available, and we could ask for, well, we could do fundraisers and things like that, but we really haven't gotten into that much detail about it. We don't know a price. Nothing's been offered to us yet, so we don't necessarily have a price to know how much if it is offered to the congregation. But we would have to bring that for a congregational vote, and we would give you more information if and when that would occur. Yes, sir.
What was the appraised value?
Well, the appraised value, it varies. We had the appraiser he broke it down into several different ways to where if we're to purchase this for church use versus what a market value would run, that varies. So the tax value on that property is $100,000 for the land and $54,000 for the structure. But we can't use that tax evaluation as being a very good gauge of what a price would be if we were offered the ability to purchase that. We would think that it would be, you know, hopefully below that, obviously, but we're not sure exactly where she stands as far as setting a price. Now, the talks, James Palmer has been the one that has represented our congregation very well in this and has talked to her a few times, and I hope that James and I will be able to talk to her some more this week after we can get the appraisal and get the appraisal to her so that she gets a chance to see it. She was already informed that we had planned on getting an appraisal done of the properties. Yeah, when in the appraisal, the house is not given very much value at all, and we had pictures of the inside. Door had been busted open and gotten into. James has secured that at this point in time, but there's quite a bit of damage in there from termites, the back screened-in area. And there's some several rooms in the house that the floors have buckled, and there's some things there. So the structure itself is not going to be of much use for us at all, if any.
So where we're standing at right now is we don't know what the price is, so there's nothing less that we can do right now.
At this point in time, right, we just wanted to let you know where we are on this possible journey and to survey the congregation as to if it became available for us to purchase, if there's interest for us to move forward with it. And that would mean, you know, we would have to commit to paying for it. So that's the next step. But once we know numbers, then we can give more information to the congregation as for any possible ways to meet the cost. But we don't know for sure right now. We're just we're getting our toes in the water right now. So we haven't dove in yet. Slightly over 3 acres total.
It's not quite one the side of it.
Yep.
And then two additional acres across the street. Is that right?
Yeah, give or take 2 acres plus or plus four.
No more, is it been torn down?
Has the what been torn down?
No more across the road.
Well, there's some structural stuff over there that's been kind of caved in, and I've been told pretty much for 45, 50 years that there's an open well over there or something in the woods, but I can't verify that. I haven't gone through there. I haven't lost any animals over there, though.
There is an open well. I would not say there's an open well.
Okay. So that would definitely be something that if we did purchase, we need to take care of them. Other questions or comments? Carol?
Well, I heard what I
said. Okay. Excuse me?
How many acres?
Okay, yes. And if there's anybody else on council, Susan, thank you very much. You said what I've been stumbling on. If there are any other questions that you have that you haven't thought about at this point in time, you can always ask me. We will collect these. Can I get an usher to get one of these baskets and just sit it out there so we can drop, I think people can drop them in on the way out. Questions. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Boyd makes a motion. We have a second. Neil second. All right. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.